You'll turn with me in your Bibles at Job 42:10. And the Bible says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Let's pray. Amen. I came across this a couple years ago in a devotional. I say a couple years ago, that's about 10 or 15 years ago, and it just never left me. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." It says something to me. We know that Job went through a lot of trials. We know that Job went through a lot of trouble, and that's an understatement. So go with me back to Job chapter 1. We're going to preach on the entire book of Job today. Well, not all of it, just from chapter 1 to chapter 42. We got a little time, right? We all know a little bit about Job, but I want to take a look. First, I want to see Job's position. In life, when we face trials, and as Christians, when you get saved, there's many people that have been shipwrecked because they've gotten into a situation. They've faced problems. You know, they got saved and they thought, "Well, God is on my side," and God is on your side. And I don't know if this is a strange message before Christmas. It's what God gave me. But we face those trials and those problems. You go to a church and somebody discourages you or something like that, and they go off into a tailspin, I call it. And I was always afraid when I was preaching. I learned, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a big lie. And I learned that as a preacher, you can say things that send people off into a tailspin. It's like they're flying along, and something you say, you don't know what it is. You tap their wing or something, and they just fall out of church, fall out of the Christian life, fall out of... And the life isn't as easy as they thought it was. And that's why I encourage you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because if your relationship is strictly based on how things are going between you and mankind, mankind is going to let you down. I don't care whether it's the preacher, whether it's your Sunday school teacher. I don't care whether it's your mom, your dad, your uncle. I don't care who it is, Aunt Sally. Man is going to let you down at one time or another. But if your relationship is based on Jesus Christ, your relationship with God, if your focus is on that, then it doesn't matter what takes place. You know, George has been reading a book I gave him, Fox's Book of the Martyrs, and it's not a cheerful book. It's the martyrs, the martyrdom, those who had faith in Christ, who trusted Christ alone. They didn't trust in works. And it tells a lot of stories about how persecution came to them because of that. But their relationship was based on Jesus Christ. And y'all are making me nervous. But we look at Job and we see that he had a relationship with God. We see his position with God. In verse number 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." We see his personality here. We see his position with God. Verse number 2, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was blessed. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one in his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them." Verse number 5, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And listen to this. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Not only did he have a right relationship with God, but he was interceding on the behalf of his children. He was so right with God that just in case his sons had cursed God in their hearts, he wanted to offer a sacrifice for them. He wanted to look after his children too. So we see a man who's close to God, and he draws attention. It says in verse number 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Whence comest? Whence? Where are you coming from?" "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And there's one of those phrases. Buddy, we get into life and we got to understand Satan's walking up and down in the earth, to and fro. We got to understand that there may be a time he can trip us up. I was reading some of Spurgeon lectures to my students, and he was talking about how the minister can get tripped up. And it would be in the thing that you think you are most secure in your Christian walk. And he said, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Satan answered and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." In verse number 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Man, what a testimony for God to say that about him. "And then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." In other words, Satan goes to God. He can't accuse God of treating Job wrong. He can't say that God doesn't take care of his people. But what he says is, well, but why wouldn't he trust you? It benefits him. All his wealth and everything is because he's good. You've built up a hedge around him. You've protected him. Why wouldn't he worship you? Well, we know that's not true today, right? We know that the more comfortable people get, the more comfortable the Jews got in the land, the further they got away from God. But here Satan's testing. And he said, verse number 11, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." So the Lord says, okay, you can test him. There's about to be some troubles that take place for Job. You haven't been there, and I know just about everybody has, and they know what's coming. He says, you can touch him, touch his substance. Touch everything around him, all the blessings that he's received, touch him. And I bet you he doesn't curse God. So Satan goes out and he doesn't hesitate. And we read this series here. And so many times I like to climb into the scripture and sit there in that moment. And it says, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell you." So this happens and Satan leaves one servant to go back and tell Job what's happened. His wealth has been taken from him. The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. So he loses some of his wealth there. And while he was yet speaking, verse 16, there came also another. Before he could even recover, there came another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped to tell thee." So here we have the sheep are gone now, along with the servants that were taking care of them. Practically members of his family. He was a wealthy man. He had many servants, but you can imagine he knew them. And here he's experiencing this loss. "Well, I yet have my family." In verse 17, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Verse 18, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Before he can even recover, one servant after another comes to him, and all these things have happened. And that the one that strikes me, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job was a man who definitely had a relationship with God. He put his trust and his faith and his gratitude and his life in God's hands. And when all that was taken away from him, he still didn't curse God. He said, naked came I into this world. Everything that I have, God gave me, and I'll return naked. There'll be no U-Haul behind the hearse. Everything that I have here will be left behind. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. We go through trials, and in our family, we've had some. But, you know, it's hard to imagine that kind of loss. You know, there are people that have, if you were there and you looked out and you saw the 3,000, the sheep, the camels, the donkeys, if you, and his family and everything, you saw all of that, you would say that he's secure here. You know, he might have a disease that would take some of the sheep. He might have something that would happen, or there might be bandits that would take some. But one after another, and his whole life was changed. There are people that have had their life tied up in the stock market on paper, and that disappears. You can see that happening. But to see all of this wealth disappear on him, and there he is. And it said, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He had a loss of wealth, loss of family. And chapter number 2, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Satan is a roaring lion, walks about. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Many a man with wealth was willing to part with every penny of that wealth in order to have health. In order to, what was it? Was it Disney? It went into cryogenics. He paid all of that money, put his body into cryogenics so that he could be brought back one day. Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. So Satan touches Job, and he covers his body with sores. So Job's suffering from the loss of his family, and then Job begins to suffer in health. And then verse number 7. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, and from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And then I love this part. His supportive wife said, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Just give up, Job. God didn't even want you around. Just give up. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? And then we get into the book of Job. It says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came from every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar and the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Here's where they did good. Sometimes you just don't know what to say. Somebody's going through something and you haven't been through it. You don't know what to say. You know, in life, we go through suffering. We go through trials. And there's the loss of a family member. There's the loss of things. There's the loss of wealth, loss of a job. You know, I remember when I was at Calvary, I never forgot this. It just stuck with me. I've had many conversations since then, but it stuck with me. There was a young family there, and they were kind of struggling. I mean, they were a young family. And we'd helped them out. You know, we tried to secretly, but when you got a little church, it's pretty easy to figure out who bought you the box of diapers or something, you know. But, and he had lost his job, and he was looking for a job. Well, up to this point, I'd only had 3 jobs in my life. I'd worked at the bait camp. I quit a few weeks before I resigned. At the bait camp, a few weeks before I went into the Navy. Then I went into the Navy for 6 years. I got out of the Navy and I looked for a job, and the Lord got us a job right on time. We didn't have to suffer any. We collected like 1 unemployment check. And then I was working, and I had that job for 5 years. And I lost that job. And the Lord granted a better job. Within a short period of time, I mean, we got blessed, you know. And so up until this time at Calvary, I'd only known that you go and look for work, you find a job. But, you know, there's other things about finding a job when you're trying to take care of a family. You know, people that have always been working and have always made the money, they say, well, you just go and find work. I mean, if you got to work at the gas station, you do it. Well, I mean, there's some problems with that. And you learn that when you get out of work. It's like, well, I can go and spend all my time working here. If I could get trapped there not making enough to take care of my family, and I got to find enough to take care of my family, you know. But I had told him, and he was looking for a job, and I had said this little stupid thing. I had said, you know, I found it. You know, when people look for work, they find it. I didn't know how bad that hurt. And that hurt him. I found out about it later, and I felt bad ever since. You know, and as I get older, there are things that come back to me out of the past. And, you know, it's like you just kind of wish you could go back there and stand next to yourself. Really? You just, really? Oh, you're going to regret that. So his friends go and they sit with him. They hadn't been through this, where all this loss in one day. And they sit there with him and they're just quiet. And that's where they do good. But we know it doesn't stay there, right? Job is depressed. He's not cursing God, but in chapter number 3, he begins to curse the day that he was born. He begins to wish he was never born. When you get to chapter 5, he begins to wish that God, he's praying that God would just kill him. Lord, just kill me. It's like Elijah up under the juniper tree. It's enough, Lord. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm not even as good as them. Just take me out. And he's sitting under there, and then it starts in chapter number 4. Oh, Eliphaz. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Uh-oh. And it starts from there. And just like when I was talking to Sean way back then, they begin to tell him, you know, those that are right with God, God blesses them. And they receive those blessings, and bad things don't happen to good people. I love that. And they go through, and I'm not literally going to take you through every chapter. Job is a beautiful book. It's poetry. Oh, man, it's beautiful. But they begin to talk, and some of the things that they say are right, but some of the things are wrong. And I was reading a commentary. You know, one of the hardest parts about reading Job is, you know, Job says some things that are right. He says some things that are wrong. It's finding out what are the good things that they said, because they have their own assessment of God. And they go through this, and they begin to run him down, and they call Job self-righteous, and he's trying to justify himself, and they go through all of this. And they go in age order, the oldest one. And then Job, he argues with them. He tells them, no, I took care of the poor. I did this, you know. And then he bemoans the younger days. Oh, that I were as in the days of my youth when the Lord washed my steps with butter. It's just the poetry in the book. But Job is suffering, and his friends begin to put their own assessment on it. You never know anybody like that, have you? You know, Brother Peacock talks about going to the hospital in Romans 8:28 in somebody. You know, the Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Oh, it's a perfect verse, but sometimes somebody's suffering. That's not going to help them. You're going through this pain. You're going through this suffering. You're going through all it. Hey, all things are going to work together for good. How does that help? I know that God's going to take care of it, but it hurts right now. From the sole of my foot all the way up to the top of my head, everything hurts. And not only that, but I'm constantly reminded about my 7 sons and my 3 daughters. I'm constantly reminded about the wealth that I had, those servants that I lost. And the whole time that my skin is hurting and itching. And I don't know why God is doing this to me. I don't know why I'm in this situation. But it's not because of what you said, because I was careful. I tried to stay with God. And when we look back and we see Job, the Bible clearly tells us he's not making it up about himself. He was upright. He loved God and eschewed evil. So when we look back from our time period and we look back to Job, we say, here was a man who was doing right and bad things happened to him. And people get upset and they get out of God's will. They just go off into the tailspin. And they get away from God because something bad is happening in their life. I want to tell you, this world is cursed. I don't know if you noticed, but there's bad things that happen in this world. The grass dies outside. The beautiful flowers that George plants, they die after a little bit. And man is like grass. He grows up for a while, and then he fades away. And, you know, for me, this is new. And the older I get, you know, the more I think, you know, my time, my little window here on this earth is just a little bit. And you look back in the past and you see men that have lived and you realize they come to the end of their life. And we just had that window. I don't even know where I was going with that. I'm not going to curse God and die. But going through, as they begin to get on Job about his self-righteousness. And then it gets all the way down to Eliphaz over there later, way in the book. And he's the youngest of them. And he says, I've let the old men speak, but now let me tell you something. And that's the Keith version. Well, now let me tell you something you probably don't know, because I'm the young man and I know it all. And he begins to unload. And then God interjects. Yeah, in verse 35 and verse number 2, in chapter 35, verse number 2. And these are just some highlights. Elihu spake moreover and said, thinkest thou this to be right that thou sayest? My righteousness is more than God's, for thou sayest, what advantage will it be unto thee, and what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? They're telling him to repent of whatever sin it is that's causing all these troubles. In verse 38, then the Lord chimes in on this argument. It said, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? This is chapter 38. Declare if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You know what I see in this? I see God talking to Job, and he's like, where were you in the beginning? You weren't there. We have so many men that speak against God, that raise up against God, and they say, well, I just don't think a loving God. Well, I just don't think this, or I don't think God did this. Were they there in the beginning? They can go back millions and millions and millions of years ago, but they weren't there. We can see all this stuff way back, but nobody was there except God. And the poetry is beautiful. Chapter 39, knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? Canst thou number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows, their young ones are in good liking, they grow up with corn, they go forth and return not unto them. It's just beautiful poetry. In verse 19, hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet armed men. And he talks about drawing out Leviathan. But as it goes through that, and God has laid all of that out, and Job's reaction in chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that you can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. In other words, I was talking about things that I didn't even understand. Lord, you're right. Job came to the point, he had gotten upset at his friends, and he had spoken out, and he said, forgive me, Lord, I'm speaking out of turn. I don't know anything about that. He said, I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Oh, man. You want to talk about salvation. You can hear about Jesus Christ. You can hear about salvation. But when you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's seeing, it's knowing, it's understanding. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he opens up your sight. I once was blind, but now I see. Verse number 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. All those who say they're going to stand before God and demand, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse number 7, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job had. In other words, you guys have been giving him a hard time, and nothing you said is right, but Job understands. He put them in their place. His wrath is kindled against him. He's not just upset. He's mad. The anger of God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job. Get where he tells them to take them. Take them to Job. He says, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. He says he will pray for him. He doesn't command Job to. God knows that Job is upright. God knows that he will pray for his friends. You know, I was teaching a lesson not too long ago, and it's like, you mean I've got to pray? I've got to pray for people that have been mean to me? And it's like, you know, it's a tough thing, but yeah. Bible says, bless them that curse you. Bless them and sin not. So take that offering and go to Job, and he'll pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. Verse number 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now he does, but before we go on, I want you to realize something. I want you to be on the same page with me. When Job made that prayer for those three friends that accused him of not taking care of the poor, accused him of not being righteous, accused him of not being upright, there must be some sin in your life, Job. There must be something causing this. There must be something in your life, Job. When Job prayed for them, there was no promise from God. There was no promise saying, I'm going to give you twice as much as you had before. For all Job knew, when he was done with that prayer, the sores went on indefinitely. The loss was still there. The pain was still there. All of that hurt, that was still there. But Job prayed for his friends. He forgave them. He prayed for them. And then the Lord blessed him. You know, it doesn't mean God deals with us each individually. Our problems, the problems that you have, aren't the same problems that somebody else faces. You know, I've talked about the missionary I heard a long time ago before. I think he was in L.A. or something, and winning gang members to the Lord. And he was talking about another gang that didn't want him in the neighborhood or something had come by, and these other guys were out front. And he said, I felt safe. He said, you know, when we backslide, we might cuss. He said, when these guys backslide, they might kill somebody. But all, you know, people come from different backgrounds, and what's a problem for you may not be a problem for someone else. You know, the idea that Sean was having trouble finding work, up to that time, that hadn't been a problem for me. I trusted God, but then God sent me through a season, and I've regretted what I said to him ever since. So you never know until you're walking in those shoes. You know, the Bible talks about comforting others with the comfort wherewith you are comforted. Understanding where somebody really is because you've been through it before. It's just like your bereavement group, which has been approved, by the way, Richard. I meant to tell you earlier, somebody else was talking. It's just like that. You know, you understand each other because you've gone through it. The comfort wherewith we are comforted. But in all of this, Job prayed for his friends, and then the Lord turned the captivity of Job. And that word captivity, I don't know what it says in the newer Bibles or whatever, but the word captivity just captures everything. It wasn't just his problems. We have problems. It wasn't just the loss of his kids. It wasn't just the sores. It wasn't just all of that. And it wasn't just his friends that were discouraging him, making him wish he hadn't even lived. I mean, When you're messing up and you're trying to do better and you admit that you're messing up, the last thing you want to hear is, yeah, you sure did. Oh, buddy, did you? You're in trouble now. Kids like to do that to each other, right? You break the vase. Oh, you're in trouble now, not me. It wasn't just all of that, but it was what that did to him. His mind was in prison. He was caught, and there was no escape. He couldn't go back. You know, he didn't have the book in front of him. He couldn't go and look. He couldn't go to verse number 12 of chapter 42 or verse 11. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen. And if you go back to chapter 1, you find that all of his cattle and sheep and oxen were doubled. And he called the name of the... he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, which is what he had before. And he called the name of the first Jemimiah, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen-Haphuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And in verse 16, after this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. You remember back when you were in high school? I'll just take you back in time. You remember back when you were in high school? Do you remember when the age of 20 seemed like a brick wall that you may never get past? Do you remember that? Do you know how much life you've lived since then? Do you know how many people you've touched? When I first read that, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, you know what it said to me? And I gave you context for the whole thing. But when I read that, it was Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And he talked about the ministry of the exterior. I think it's from June 20th. But he talked about the ministry of the exterior, and that's getting outside of yourself and praying for others and looking toward others. Yeah, we have our problems. We have things that we go through, but when we begin to turn our eyes, and this is where it becomes a Christmas message, when we begin to put our eyes on others and pray for them, the Lord allows us to push that aside, and the blessings we receive there will surpass the curse on the other side. If you'll stand... We'll have a time of invitation. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That peace is not yours unless you know Jesus Christ, unless you've accepted the sacrifice that he made for your sins. If you have done it, if you haven't done that, it doesn't matter how long you've been going here. It just doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know him? Do you know that you know him? While the music plays, take some time to pray.